أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على كريم وعلى آله وصحبه من سنة بسنته من دين، أما بعد. إن شاء الله today is our conclusion of Surah Yusuf, last few ayats, as we see the story of Yusuf عليه السلام with his brothers finishing and ending. Last time we stopped with verse number 90 in the situation where the brothers of Yusuf عليه السلام finally recognized Yusuf السلام, and Yusuf السلام told them also. And we finish with the ayah where Allah tells us, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَسْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهِ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Meaning in that ayah Allah is showing that Yusuf السلام persevered over the whole story, over the whole long run, even though his brother's initial intention at the beginning of the surah, Allah tells us, was to get rid and finish Yusuf, kill him totally, get rid of him. But Allah kept him alive and kept him through all these years. And the brothers assumed that he's dead, he's gone. But now that they realized him, that, oh, you have been better off. That's what they're saying, that you have been better off than us because we are the ones who are stuck. They are in famine, they are in drought, they're in poverty, they're in difficult times. And Yusuf Islam being the king of Egypt now and enjoying the luxuries of life and everything, is at an upper position of life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَسْبِرْ. Two things required. Whoever has taqwa and sabr, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Really, if you have taqwa and sabr, Allah will not waste your deeds or waste the actions of muhsinin. The criterion mentioned here is muhsin. A person has to be muhsin. Meaning, whether it's a negative impact on a person, whether a person is going through tough times or difficulty or poverty, whatever they're going through, they always have to have taqwa and sabr. Taqwa and sabr is both. If a person is rich, they have to have taqwa and sabr. Over there, taqwa and sabr will be in the aspect of not wasting their money, not using their money to commit sins and mistakes. And if a person is poor, they also have to have taqwa and sabr. If a person has no difficulties, no parishani, nothing in life, still they have to have taqwa and sabr. Over there, the taqwa and sabr will be shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a person is going through a lot of difficulties and problems and issues, even then they have to have taqwa and sabr. Meaning, positive or negative, whatever the aspect of life we go through in this dunya, we have to have taqwa and sabr. And the third thing with taqwa and sabr is, we should not stop working for Allah. That's what the word muhsin means. Word muhsin implies that a mu'min, believer, is always doing ihsan. And what is ihsan? Doing fadl, good deeds, on others, not on yourself, on others. Always helping out others, always being productive for others. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that you will persevere and be patient, and you will go through a positive attitude in your life, through all problems and difficulties, if you only have taqwa, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَسْبِرْ and sabr, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Verily Allah does not waste the ajr, deeds, I mean ajr means the productivity, the dividend, the reward of muhsinin. Meaning sometimes we feel that, oh, I did a good deed, but I'm poor, I'm in poverty. Why is Allah not giving me luxury, money, rich? Maybe money is not good for you right now. Maybe if Allah gives you money right now, you become corrupt, you become more bad, and you start doing bad deeds, sayyi'at, sins. Because Allah knows better if money is good for us at that time, or another time, or some other time. So that is why we should never look to our deeds thinking, oh, I did this good deed, I'm not getting any ajr, I'm not getting any return. Yusuf al-Islam did so many good deeds throughout his life, in the prison, in the well, under the supervision of the minister, working. He never waited for his ajr. But look how at the end Allah summed all his ajr in the form of king of Egypt, sitting on the throne, dealing with the affairs. So now with verse number 91, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, informs us about the philosophy of the brothers of Yusuf al-Islam. They say, قَالُوا, the brother said, تَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ آثَرَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَإِن كُنَّا لَقَاطِئِينَ. Meaning, the brothers of Yusuf al-Islam are confessing, are accepting their guilt. They're saying, تَاللَّهِ, meaning, which means وَاللَّهِ, meaning I swear by Allah. Basically, they're saying that we swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَقَدْ آثَرَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. Verily, Allah has given you fadl, has given you privilege, highness, authority above us. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying over here. That verily Allah has given you, آثَرَكَ اللَّهُ. Allah has given you fadl. Meaning we are the bad guys, you are the good guy. We are the one who suffered really ultimately, and we thought that we will make you suffer, but you did not suffer. Although he did suffer through his life, but the brothers are now looking at what? At the Zahir picture. They're saying Yusuf Islam has status, he has beauty, he has money, he has authority, he has everything. Whereas the brothers, 10, 11 of them, they are poor, they have no status, they have no authority, they're going through difficult times. So Allah SWT is saying here that look, the brothers of Yusuf al-Islam are thinking like me and you think now in 2006. Oh, this person has the Zahir picture. We look at people's apparent picture. That, oh, this person has four cars, two houses, mashallah, his kids are going to Yale, Harvard, MIT. Oh, I have only one car, my kids are going to Rutgers. Or I have only one house. We should never compare. And that is what Allah SWT is saying. Who compares? The one whose mindset is dependent on worldly things. And that's what the brothers of Yusuf Islam wanted. They were stuck on worldly things. They wanted the worldly pleasures and rewards. And that's why they wanted to get rid of Yusuf Islam so that Yaqub, their father, could bless them. But here they're accepting their guilt that no, in the long run we have been the worst. Temporarily, when we got rid of you, Yusuf, we might have become better temporarily, but in the long run, we are the sore losers. They're accepting their confession, their guilt. تَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ أَثَرَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. Meaning they're accepting that Allah has favored you, blessed you, giving you privileges, fadl, above us. Meaning Allah loves you, and He showed you, and Allah is teaching us a lesson for our mistakes. The scholars, or let me say here in this tafsir of this ayah, that this is at least a good sign, healthy sign of a healthy heart with iman. That at least they are accepting their guilt, accepting their mistake. What good, I mean, how beautiful a life would be if you accept your mistakes before your death, and Allah goes and Allah punishes you in this dunya. Wouldn't you accept the punishment of this dunya over the punishment of akhirah? If you give an option to any mu'min, if you give a believer, mu'min, say, look, you want punishment of Allah in akhirah or now? That person who says, no, I want it in akhirah, not now, let me have nice time now. That person will be called foolish. You're trading for something doesn't make sense. So Allah SWT here is saying here that you should choose akhirah over dunya. And therefore, I mean, apne gunaon ki iktilafi insaan agar dunya mein kar le, apne gunaon ki saza yahi bhugat le, aur sab cheez ko bilkul sifar karke yahan se mare aur jaye, wo zyada behtar hai qiyamah ke roz bajaye iske ki insaan yahan sare asaishon ke saath guzre aur yahan ko iske gunaah ki iktilafi nahi ho, aur qiyamah ke roz ko Allah taala khatere mein khada karne wale bhai tumhari sari cheezon ka hisab liya jayega to tum ab jannat nahi ja sakte. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to give us an idea that look, if you've done bad, if you've been bad in this dunya, no problem, no haraj. Wake up before it's too late. Accept before it's too late. Repent before you die. Make sure you go through everything before dying in this dunya. And that's what they say. وَإِن كُنَّ لَخَاطِئِينَ. Really, we are the mistakers. We are the wrongdoers. خَاطِئِينَ. قَالَ لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. Yusuf Islam, now looking at this attitude of his brothers, that they are, you know, miskeen, laheem, shaheem, meaning they are already pleading to Yusuf Islam and they have accepted their fault, they accepted their guilt. So he's saying, قَالَ لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. There is no recompense, there is no revenge, retaliation upon you. Go, I forgive you. Go, I release you. I don't ask equality, revenge, retaliation for any of the things you've done. You threw me in the well. You got rid of me. You had jealousy. He's saying, I'm not going to take tit for tat for any single thing. Not even a single inch. Meaning a person can say, okay, you have a big heart. You forgive all my mistakes except one. No. Yusuf is saying, I'm forgetting all mistakes. I'm not going to hold for even one. The word tathrib comes from the root mentality that I will not pick any single thing from your mistake. I have a very, very big heart, very vast heart. I accept all these hardships that you put on me. I accept all the wrong you did on me. I was the madlum. But in return, I forgive you. Why? Because when you forgive someone, Allah forgives you. And when you forgive someone, Allah blesses you. Whether in mal, in status, in a'mal, in children. You see, try it in your life. You see, next time when you have the right to seek revenge, retaliation on someone, but you forgive them, you have a big heart. You see how Allah will help you in mal, put barakah in mal. You see how Allah will put barakah in your time. You see how Allah will put barakah in your sahaja, your body, meaning you won't get sick or you won't have to go to a doctor a lot. You see how Allah blesses you in your activity, work. You get more things accomplished. You see how Allah put barakah in your children, make them salih, make them good. All this because a person has a forgiving attitude towards others. Because when Allah comes to when Allah comes to return the dividends and productivity of our good deeds, and forgiving someone is a good deed. There is no tangible amount, monetary amount fixed to forgiving. If I forgive someone, does not mean that Allah will pay me $500, $5,000, $5 million. No. Allah has hisab, bighayri hisab. And Allah will not give me money, but will give me in money, but give me in kind. Not in cash, in kind. Kind meaning they're getting sick less often, they're not having that many problems. I will just give you a small example. There's a brother who called me 3 nights ago. He said he has 3 houses on mortgage. He collects rents from 3 tenants. He said, I went in the first week of June to collect rent from my tenant. He collects his rent. He has a Mercedes S500 car. He forgot to put the car in park. It was in D. He came back after collecting rent from all three from the third house, you know, $6,000-$7,000, whatever amount he collected rent. He sits in his car after the third house he collects rent. He starts the car in ignition. Since the car was in D, it springs forward and hits the car in front because they were parked very close to each other. So it hit. It had a lot of damage for his car, other car. He went to the dealer, fixed the car. It cost him $5,000. The car he hit was his tenant's car from whom he collected rent. He messed up his car. So he paid for his car, I think it was $2,000. So he said, in the long run, I collected $7,000 in rent, but I paid $7,000 to fix my car and tenant's car. Meaning he was saying how quickly money came, how quickly money went. Now, I'm not quoting this incident to show about that person, but I'm trying to show you, when Allah comes to taking money away from you, He can give you money in 1 second, $7,000, rent from 3 houses. But in the next second, same $7,000 gone. How? Small thing. Small blunder. You forgot to put the car in P. You put it in D. He said, and he was, why I did it that? No, you didn't do that. Allah made you do that. Because you need to look in your life. Are you fulfilling the qanun of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are you doing ihsan, mahsineen? Are you having the pious, righteous attitude? Agar hum apne maamle Allah ta'ala ke saath durust kar lein, to Allah ta'ala barkat hi barkat, har cheez mein barkat, jism mein barkat, sehat mein barkat, maal mein barkat, bachon mein barkat, kaam mein barkat, rizq mein barkat, har cheez mein barkat. Agar Allah se maamla durust kar lein. Lekin agar Allah ta'ala se maamla kharab kar lein, to beshak paisa hi paisa, $7,000 kiraye mein aa gaya, lekin paisa zaya, barkat nahi. वही $7,000 किसी और के पास आते तो वो 70,000 के बराबर. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, that huwa arhamur rahimin. Allah is the most merciful of all merciful people. That qala la tathriba alaykum al-yawm yaghfir Allah lakum wa huwa arhamur rahimin. Yusuf al-Islam is saying back to his brothers that look, go, you are free, I release you, I don't take any revenge, any equality, any retaliation from you, I forgive you blindfoldly, closingly, I'm not even thinking about any of the things you've done to me. Go, I free you, and Allah will forgive you. He's not only just saying that, go, you are free, I forgive you. He's saying, I also make dua that Allah forgive you. وَيَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. What a beautiful example of brotherhood. What a beautiful example of showing that they were his stepbrothers. They showed unhone sotelapan dikhaya. They showed their stepness. But Yusuf Islam in return is not showing his sotelapan or stepbrother attitude. He's showing that, look, I'm your more than your blood brother. आज सगा भाई दूसरे भाई को माफ करने को तैयार नहीं, यहाँ पे सौतेला भाई दूसरे को माफ कर दिया, and not only माफ, he is saying, I will ask Allah to forgive you, and Allah is the most forgiving of them. In other words, Allah is teaching us from Yusuf Islam's attitude here, in your dunya, when you have problems with your blood relatives, your blood brother, blood sister, blood uncle, aunt, chacha, chachi, mamu, these are very close people, you have problems and troubles with them, don't have an attitude of holding with your molar teeth. You know, daante se pakad ke rassi khench ke rakhna, ye isko to chipke rakho, inke saath aise hi karo, tick for tack. No. The attitude is, Allah saying is, you keep a relaxed attitude, forgiving attitude. Chalo unhone jo bhi kiya zyadti, chalo maaf kiya. Chalo main unke liye Allah se maghfirat ki maang raha. Why? If you do this, Allah will put barakah in your mal, in your children, in your rizq, in your house, in your saha, in everything. This is the qanun of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning Allah will definitely do it. It's not a question of if. If I, no. Question is, if you forgive. If you don't forgive, then yes, maybe Allah may not do. But question is, if you're forgiving other people, having a forgiving attitude towards other people, it is guaranteed, on stamp, that Allah will bless in return. Because Allah doesn't drop down baskets of cash. Now here, because you forgive your brother, because you forgive your son or father or uncle, here, $2 million, $10 million, no. It comes back in kind. Yes, it does come in return dividend, but it comes in kind. The next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that Yusuf al-Islam, after forgiving his brothers, he takes off his shirt. The shirt he's wearing. Not an old shirt, not a shirt that the brothers put fake blood on, not the shirt that the Zulaikha, the wife of that minister who grabbed him, but this is a new shirt. Remember I told you throughout the story, shirt has a significance. Today at the end, remind me if I forget, what is the significance? So he gets off his shirt in front of them, they're sitting in the palace, he says, and then he hands over to his brother. He says, اِذْهَبُ بِقَمِيسِ, go with my shirt. اِذْهَبُ بِقَمِيسِ هَذَا فَأَلْقُوهُ, put it on the face, on the head, on the face of my father. Yusuf al-Islam, being a prophet, he has already known that his father has lost sight. Because last Thursday we were talking about those ayats where he cried so much crying with tears that he lost his eyesight. Yusuf al-Islam knows this. So now immediately he has forgiven his brothers. He's now saying, look, we have patched up, we have mended our differences, everything is fine, I've forgiven you, you're free, and I'll ask Allah to forgive you. Now go back to Madian, go back to the place of Palestine area where my father and your father, Yaqub al-Islam, is. Take this shirt and go, yani unke muh pe mal. اِذْهَبُ بِقَمِيثِ عَلَى فَرْقُوهُ عَلَى وَجْهِ أَبِي يَأْتِ بَصِيرًا. And he's giving them why. He's saying, go and rub this shirt on the face of my father, يَأْتِ بَصِيرًا, he'll regain his eyesight. Subhanallah. He's not giving him a capsule, a tonic, a mixture, medicine, syrup, no. He's not saying, go do surgery, I'm an eye surgeon, bring them, I'll do LASIK. So just put this shirt. What is Allah teaching us in this era? Allah's teaching us a very important principle. Don't depend on worldly things. That if the eye doctor will do surgery, then only my eye can fix. There are people of examples in today, in 2006, who have just put some zamzam water on their eyes, and recited certain du'as for 30 days, 40 days, they got their eyesight back. This is not a fiction or story made up. This is real life. Allah is saying, if you want shifa from Quran, if you want shifa or iman, you have to have yaqeen. And sabr with yaqeen. A lot of us, we do this. Wait, kuch nahi hua? Kya? Aap jhoot bol rahe. You're lying. You told me that, oh, if you do this, I'll get back. No. Allah is going to test you in your iman. Of course, if the iman of a person is way, way, way down, no zamzam water, no, you know, wazifa, no zikr, azkar will bring them back. Allah sees our tatolte, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He sees how much iman, yaqeen and sabr he or she has in me, then I will give them cure, remedy from it. Second aspect from this ayah that the scholars say in tafsir of this is that it is approved, it is acceptable, acknowledged that the longings of pious people is sometimes barakah. Like you go to a wali Allah, if the wali Allah gives us his watch, gives his shirt, or gives his hair, or gives something, that wali Allah, and says, use this as barakah, you go home and do something out of it, and whatever difficulty, problem you had, is gone. It's not because of that wali Allah. It's because of the taqwa, iman of that wali Allah, and the closeness that he or she shares with Allah. So Allah, because of that, is putting barakah, blessing in that. Meaning that entity that the person gave you, tabarruk, has nothing in it. But that thing has taken the issue of tabarruk temporarily because of the barakah of that person. Because many people say this is shirk. Many people say, oh, this is wahyat kharafat, this is things like that. No, no, no. Don't just outrightly shun it and throw it out of the window. Yes, some of them are wahyat kharafat. Some of them is just a joke. It's a farce, it's a foolishness, it's money-making business. Some of these people are what we call quacks. When you don't have a real doctor and a real surgeon and a real engineer, you have quacks working, this is what's going to happen. In our Indo-Pakistan culture, there are more quacks than real wali Allah. And these quacks will say, Shartiya, guaranteed, bachcha ho jayega, bas, 5 lakh rupay rakh denge aap. Aur beti apna sar mere pair pe rakh. What wali Allah will say to a woman, put your head on my thigh and I will No matter, and I will put my hand on your head and you will get a child. Because when we go to these places, first question you should ask yourself, is the person doing something authentic according to Sharia Muhammad, and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Is it something within the boundaries of the adab of Islam? How can a non-mahram person even come close to eye and eye in a closed room with a non-mahram person? But yes, if the person has tabarruk and has other pious activities and is doing according to the Sharia, like Yusuf Aslam, he immediately took off his shirt. He didn't give it to a female, he gave it to his brothers. He said, go back to my father. Father is also a prophet, Yaqub. Yaqub Aslam could have just said, oh Allah, give me my eyesight back, Allah will give it. But Allah is teaching in this, all this incident, Allah is teaching me and you in 2006 a lesson. Be mindful not to be extremist. Don't be too extreme and go in and become agreeing with quacks who do all kinds of bad stuff and are trying to corrupt our deen, our religion, and making it a money-making business. Nor become too restrictive, conservative, like certain schools of thought, or Wahhabi school of thought, you might say, where they say these all things are totally haram. If it was haram, what was the purpose to show us in the Quran? If it was haram, why would Allah show it in the Quran? So neither this extreme is acceptable nor this extreme. Moderation. And the guiding principle for any average Muslim is the Sharia of Allah being broken? Is the Sunnah of Rasulullah being broken? Yes? Get away from it. Don't even think about it. Don't even go. If no, then evaluate more. Evaluate more onto the level that what does the person say? How does the person deal with you? How does the person interact with you? What does the person say for you to read? Evaluate the things. Don't just be like a parent, say, oh, bas panidia, and punch. Think, what has he given? Maybe in some places people don't even know what they're reciting. You pick it up and say, oh, this is going to bring more damage to you. Then good. Because the persons don't know Arabic, they know nothing. They're just saying, oh, we paid some money, some rupees, some dinar, and we got this tomorrow. Anyway. So Yusuf al-Islam says, Ya'ti basira wa atuni bi ahlikum ajma'in. He says to his brothers, go, take this shirt, put it on my father, he'll get his, regain his eyesight, and then all of you, meaning you and my father, my mother, all of you, the whole family, come back to me in Egypt, meet me here. He's saying, don't just go there and stay there, come back. And now the last part of this surah where we finish off today, alhamdulillah, luckily we'll finish Surah Yusuf after 2 months. Allah says in verse 94, وَلَمَّا فَصَلَتِ الْعِيرُ قَالَ أَبُوهُمْ إِنِّي لَأَجِدُ رِيحَ يُوسُفَ. Subhanallah. This is miraculous, amazing. Can you imagine the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah is showing His power, His might. Last Thursday we were talking about verses number 80 to 85 where Yaqub alayhi salam, when he heard about Yusuf and when he heard about Binyamin also being kept in Misr, he started crying profusely. So much he lost his eyesight. We track more. In the beginning of the surah, beginning of this whole series, we said that when Yusuf al-Islam was lost in the well, Yaqub al-Islam was crying also. Yes, at that time he cried a lot but didn't lose his eyesight. But at that time he tried to search, looking. He couldn't find Yusuf al-Islam. He couldn't even smell the smell of Yusuf al-Islam, even though he was close by in the same vicinity, area, locality, but in a well. Second time, he doesn't smell, doesn't remember anything, but he just cries for his sons, Binyamin, Benjamin and Yusuf, Joseph. Now, at the third stage, jab judai ki din poore ho rahe aur qurbat ki din qareeb hai. Now, at the time when the days of separation are ending and the days of rejoining, reunion are close, look at the miracle of Allah SWT. Allah SWT says in the ayah, وَلَمَّا فَصَلَتَ الْعِيرُ. عِيرُ here means caravan. فَصَلَتْ, فَصَلْ of something means that if I separate, this, I separate it. So, Allah is giving, depicting a picture, graphic image, visualizing. Imagine that the caravan sets out from Egypt. They get on a camel, they get everything, belongings, bag, luggage, everything, backpack, and they are getting on the camel. As soon as the camel takes the first step, Yaqub al-Islam, who is sitting thousands of miles away, he says, I smell the smell of my son Yusuf. Inni ajidu riha Yusuf. SubhanAllah, amazing. The scholars say at that time there was no train, no plane, no cars, no buses. The only mode of transportation, camel or horses. By camel or horses, you could cover the distance between Egypt And where Yaqub alayhi salam is 8 days, 8 nights. Just imagine how far that it is. And he's saying, I smell. Can you imagine what Allah is telling us? Allah said, Yaqub, I did not make Yaqub alayhi salam smell his son when he was in the world. How good it would be. Hey, I found my son. Good, let me get it. No. He did not smell his son when the brothers went there to get the food, ration, and all that. He didn't say anything. Now that the time, the journey is set out, وَلَمَّا فَقَدَ الْعِيرُ قَالَ أَبُوهُمْ إِنِّي لَأَجِدُ رِيحَ يُوسُفْ لَوْلَا أَن تُفَنِّدُونَ Yaqub alayhi salam is accepting that he's getting old also. He's saying, I smell the smell of Yusuf alayhi salam, even if you tell me that Buddha's head is gone, pagal ho gaya. होते ना जब बड़े बुजुर्ग लोग हमें कहते हैं बेटा ऐसे नहीं करो, कहते अब्बा जी तुसे सड़ा गयो बुढ़े हो गए, यू आर ओल्ड, आई मीन अब्बा जी यू डोंट नो अबाउट लाइफ बिकॉज़ अब्बा डू थिंक दैट ओ ही इज 65 70, बुढ़े गुसर को नहीं पता क्या हो रहा है यहां, दुनिया 2006 में कहां है. दिस इज व्हाट ही इज एक्सेप्ट. आई मीन इमेजिन, दिस आयत वाज रिवील 1400 इयर्स अगो टू मोहम्मद सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम इन मक्का मदीना. कैन यू इमेजिन मक्का, एंड अल्लाह सेड लुक व्हाट यू गाइस डू टुडे टू योर पेरेंट्स. Allah is talking about it 1400 years ago. And not just 1400 years ago. Yusuf Islam came thousands of years ago before Muhammad. So Allah is saying, look, people don't change. Society changes. People are the same. In the time of Yaqub al-Islam, people used to say the same. Oh, Buddha no Gushni Batal. They don't know nothing. So he's saying that look, he's saying to his people, family, in because all his sons are there now. 11 of them plus Yusuf are all there. 10 of them are coming, except Binyamin and Yusuf are there. 10 of them are coming in the caravan. So the whole brothers, are, all the sons are there. Only person he's got over here is his wife and other relatives around in the city. He's saying to them, I smell the smell of Yusuf, even if you tell me that I am insane or I'm mentally incapacitated. Or if you want to put me in mental hospital, I don't care. But I do smell Yusuf. Wow, لَوْلَا أَن تُفَنِّدُونَ. فَنِّدُونَ meaning person who gets old age, and when he gets old age, he starts to بَكِي رَكِي بَاتِ. It's true, it happens. If a person goes very, very old, this is the sunnah of Allah SWT, that a person is born and all the way to death, if a person goes through this old age, he said, اللہ تعالیٰ ہمیں چلتے پھرتے اٹھا لے اور اس بڑھاتے سے پہلے اٹھا لے. I mean, دعا یہ کرنی چاہیے کہ مجھے نہیں کہ 100 سال کی زندگی ہو, میں ہر چیز دیکھوں اپنے پوترے پوتر کی شاید. No. دعا یہ ہونی چاہیے اللہ تعالیٰ مجھے صحیح سلامت اٹھا لے, مجھے محتاج نہ بنائے اپنے بچوں. سب سے بڑی توہین اور سب سے بڑی کفر جو ہے انسان کے لیے کہ وہ اپنے بچوں کا محتاج ہو, یعنی اپنے آخری دنوں میں دل میں خالی رو رہا ہے, بول نہیں سکتا, زبان سے کچھ بول نہیں سکتا, کیونکہ بولے گا تو ادھر سے تھپڑ پڑے گا, ادھر سے metaphorically speaking meaning not but literally thapar. So that's why Rasulullah said, look, Allah took him up 63 what, your people are working in this country 63, they're all retired. So Allah's mother took up Rasulullah 63, Abu Bakr and others also, and Rasulullah himself said, do not ask Allah for a long longevity of life, but ask Allah that, oh Allah, pick me up from this dunya when I am hashash bashash salam, everything is fine, before I start deteriorating, before the lungs fail, the hearts fail, brain fails, before they put me in mental home, before they put me in old senior citizen home, Allah take me out, because I cannot go through that trauma, that tragedy. So Yaqub alayhi salam is saying, the caravan has left Egypt, I smell my son's khushbu. Even if you tell me I am mentally insane, I don't care, but I do. You believe me or not? What is the message Allah giving us? Number one, Allah is saying, don't behave bad to old people. Because old people have what? Ye baal jo safed hote hain, ye dhoop pe nahi safed. They have hikmah, wisdom. One. Second, they have what we call ilham. Ye ilham aisi cheez hai jo har cheez ko rad kar deti hai. Aur ye aapko kuch nahi pata. Nahi, buzurgon ko Allah tarah sabse zyada ilham deta hai. The more older you get in age, not just age factor, but iman factor also. The more older you get in age, and the more iman you keep while you are getting old, Allah gives you ilham. This is not wahi. No. Understand the difference. Wahi is revelation. Direct contact from Allah's mother, either through Jibreel or through Allah directly talking to you. That's why some people say, you go to mental hospital, in India, Pakistan say, oh, kal raat ko Allah Ta'ala mujhse baat kare tha. Unhone kaha, main nabi hoon. Main naya nabi. That you know that this person is insane. Just put him in the hospital for a few days. Because this cannot happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never ever talk to any more human beings. The last person Allah talked to was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After that, no one. But yes, Allah does give ilham. Ilham is one, the most closest word in English that can come to it is inspiration. Although inspiration is not a good word, it's the weakest of words. But there is no, English is such a poor language. There is no
intuition.
Word.
Hmm?
Not even intuition. All these. Ilham is something, it's an inner feeling. So that's why you can use intuition, inspiration, feeling, sensitivity, sensuality, any of these words you can use. But literally, ilham is attached with taqwa, iman, and experience. How you get experience? Through age. You can't expect a 10-year-old guy to have experience. No, he's still young in his life, he's learning. Many people don't have PhDs, masters, double masters, but they're age 60, 65, they have experience of life. They have seen dunya dekhi. They know how people, because what is experience? It's a degree, it's more than your degree. That's why when you go to a job, the first thing, they don't ask you what kind of degree you got. Do you know how to do this thing or not? How much experience you got? Then they look, oh, you also have a master's? Okay, oh, okay. Education supplements or complements your work. It's not the main criteria. The workforce has taught us that. The commercial enterprise has taught us that. You don't have experience, you're a fresh graduate, even if you have PhD, you never worked. You just went from bachelor's to master's to PhD, you're fresh graduate. Nobody's going to hire you except for a teaching position. People are going to say, either they're going to make excuse, oh, you're too already qualified, you don't have experience. In other words, Allah is teaching us a principle. If you have experience, if you have tajriba, it is an abundance of richness, information. Why? Because everything that you experience goes in our database and becomes a file. And this file is such a rich file, whenever you need it, the aql, the brain is so powerful, that whenever we need that experience, it may be stored somewhere very, very archived. You know, these computers are nothing compared to the computer Allah made here. These computers, you need to have data storage, big. Now they have chips. But this chip is so powerful. It doesn't even match the chip that is there in these the keys that you make or the microchip in the computers. It's smaller than that. But it has such a mechanism that it will store information for a long period of time, it will archive. Automatically the brain detects that this person, this nafs, insan, is not using this thing, put it back, put it in storage. And it recalls it instantaneously the moment you need it. Like somebody asks you, I'm in this problem, do you know how can I do that? Immediately, 20 years ago you had the same problem, 20 years ago, that's a long time, no joke. You had that problem 30 years ago, you overcame it, you solved it, and you know how to do it. This is experience. It's in the file. It's storage. 20 years later, somebody asks you, I'm going through this predicament. Can you help me, brother? Immediately. You don't have to say, oh, let me think. Yeah, I remember 20 years ago, I was in the same situation, brother, like you. What is this? This is not miracle. This is the experience, tajriba. And this is what we call ilham. Allah, at that moment, put it in your heart, in your brain, to retrieve that file that was in storage long time ago, bring it back. So, number one thing Allah is teaching us here, don't be bad to elders, because they have experience and they have ilham, which we can say intuition, inspiration, but it's not just because of age. There are so many old people out there in the world today, many of them don't really get that, because many of the old people are still going to clubs, still going to having a nice time, going to concerts. Right? I mean, I know people think that, oh, how can it be possible? But there are. You know, if an old person is detached from deen, from taqwa, from iman, everything, Allah will not give them inspiration, intuition, and feeling of that. But if a person is old and has experience and is attached with Qur'an, attached with Sunnah Nabawiyyah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then yes, Allah gives them, which we also call basarat, basirat. They see with the nur of iman, nur of Qur'an. They can tell you, hey, bachke, be careful. You might say, oh no, it's okay, I know, no. And then you suffer and say, oh, you were right, Dadaji, Nanaji, you were right. Well, why don't you listen to it? Oh, he's got white hair, what does he know about it? No, Yaqub al-Islam is saying, number one thing, do not disregard old people. Understand their martaba, rutba. Number two, trying to keep on working to get this. That's what Allah is saying here. Because, you know, Buzhag log puchte, I mean, you know, as people get old, they retire from job, they have free time on their hands, you know, mere biwi, both above 65, 70, they have nothing. Let's say people say, what should I do? Life is boring, dull. Bachche apne duniya mein lage hue, you know, pote potiyan, nawaze nawasiyan, grandchildren in their life. We are like lonely. We are like outcast. Odd people out. You know, miyan biwi, I mean, beta bahu, they are in their lives, beti damad in their life, their children in their lives. We are like outcast. What should we do? Should we go to senior citizen home? No. But Yaqub alayhi salam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through him is giving us a message for all people. As you age, gradually, get closer to Allah. Acquire this ilham. Acquire this fadl, privilege. That Allah has only reserved mainly for old people, but He also gives to young people too. He gives to young people if they strive for it. But the thing is, rojani, people don't have the attitude when they're young to acquire this. People get this attitude when they have free time. They're not working 8-9 hours a day. They have free time on their own. You know, from Fajr to Maghrib time, what should I do? Until my son comes back from work, I'm all day at home. My daughter-in-law is also at work. It's just me and my wife. What should I do at home? Get into the deen. Acquire more knowledge. Practice it. Establish it. Distribute it to others. You know, disseminate knowledge. Tell others. Because through making yourself busy and engaged in deen more, which Allah is giving you time now, you will acquire ilham, inspiration, intuition, whatever you want to call it. Allah will bestow His khas fadl, special fadl on you. I remember always, I was small, you know, like maybe 8 years, my grandfather, Dadaji, he retired. He retired at an early age. People usually used to retire back then, you know, above 60. He retired at 59, 59, he was in a government sermon, in the passport office, passport department. So he retired early. 860, you're still young compared to that, you know, other people. You have a lot of time. People used to, you know, people used to taunt and tease him. What are you doing? You know, work more, take a few more years, then retire. Say, no. This is it. I worked enough. My children are all married up. They have children. They are busy in their life. What I did. Now it's my time to devote and dedicate to Allah. His routine, I'm not trying to do this to praise my grandma or anything, but I learned something. At that time, I was too young to learn Islam or Deen. I mean, 7, 8 years, you are busy in life, you know. You are a small child. You want to play and enjoy more. But something stuck in my mind from Fajr in the morning. I mean, because I used to wake up early. So after he prayed Fajr, he would have me sit down from age 4 or 5 next to me, and he'd be reciting Quran. Now, Fajr in summertime, I remember, used to be 4:35. From 5 o'clock, after praying Fajr everything, from 5 o'clock till 8-9, he'll be just reciting Quran. He used to finish 4 paras, 4 juz, every day. So you finish the Quran in how many days? Less than 10 days. Almost a week. Every week he used to finish Quran. In a month, 4 Qurans. And I'm just sitting there. Because I used to wake up early, everybody is sleeping in the house. Instead of running around and disturbing others, he would have me sit. Those 4 years or 5 years of my life, at that time, I used to say, man, what a life. This guy is just only doing Quran. Now that he passed away, he died. He died only, you know, at age 64, 65, very early. Now I recall, oh, what he was teaching me is that, look, as you get older, devote more of your free time to Allah. Because the way he had people say, I was not there at his janazah, but people at his janazah said that when they gave him ghusl, because he died in a very fatal car accident in Karachi on a road. There was some big truck, you know, they come, they smashed the car. You know those cars that you have, the Suzuki small car? It was like this. It was like a small plane car after the crash. He died instantly. I mean, only a few hours on the road. But the thing is, when they were giving him janazah, they said there was a special musk smell. What did he do in his life? This smell was... It's smell from Jannah. We have never smelled something like this in dunya. Plus, while we're giving him ghusl, blood is not stopping. Of course, he's injured in the accident, everything, he crushed bone or whatever. They try to give ghusl, because every time they give ghusl finish, blood is still coming up. And the scholarly opinions are that if a person, there is a janazah where blood is continuously coming, just give them ghusl once or twice max, and that's it. Put the kafan, because the kafan is getting red. Every time you put the kafan is white, gets red. This is a... alama, sign, symbol of shahada. Allah gives shahada not just in the battlefield, but in different ways. Car accidents, or death through sickness, something. But one thing I learned, that as you get older and older, the time Allah is making you freer and freer more as you're getting older. from the life's busyness and everything. Give that time to Allah. And Allah will give you everything of this life and akhirah for that free time. Yaqub al-Islam is smelling, and yes, I remember now, because now that he's not there and I miss him, I remember every single thing he used to tell me. Many things he would tell me would be like durandish, you know, like you say, intuition, farsightedness. He'd tell me, look, this is going to happen if you do this in a week's time. It would happen to me. I was like, wait a second, you're getting white? I used to joke around with him that, Dadaji, you have become like a prophet or something. You give me always revelation. He said, no, it's not revelation. This is basarat, basirat, ilham. This is from Allah, gift. But this gift is a special gift that Allah only gives to His favorite people. And that's what this ayah is informing. This ayah is addressing senior citizens of the dunya, wherever they are. China, America, Saudi Arabia, wherever they are. Then look, you want qurb of Allah, become closer. قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ إِنَّكَ لَفِي ظَلَالٍ قَدِيمٍ His family member, his wife and other people, they still didn't accept him. They didn't believe in him. They said, you are, تَاللَّهِ, verily, by Allah, you are in your old dhalal, misguided. Meaning, when you lost Yusuf al-Islam at that time, usul bhi aap aisi bhaggi-bhaggi baatein karte the, abhi bhi aap bhaggi-bhaggi baatein karte. 30-35 saal ho gaye, Yusuf al-Islam more came. How can you tell me Yusuf al-Islam ki khushbu aayi? You know, then, sabse pehle to bhagwan se taraz karte. बुढ़े खुसैन क्या हो गए थे? What is wrong with you? ऐसे ऐसी भैंकी बातें क्यों कर रहे? बेटा हमारा धूम हो गया, खो गया, कहाँ चला गया? 30 साल हो गए, अब तो अभी तक वही सूझ रहा है? No, he say I can smell him. लेकिन वही बेगम फिर बाद में पशमान होती है, शर्मिंदा होती है, sorry. आप वाकई बुजुर्ग हैं। मैंने बैठ के लेने चाहिए आप। और 30 साल 40 साल हो गए शादी का, अब तक नहीं किया, अब क्या करोगी? So فلما أن جاء البشير ألقاه على وجهه فارتد بصيره. As soon as the brothers came back with the shirt, as soon as the shirt came, number one, he said, Begum, maina kya zata khushbu aari? Theek hai. Pehla star, pehla marka ho gaya. And when they go back and they see Yusuf Islam alive, waan wo Begum sajda ho gaya. Kehte sartaj tu si aqa. Khalam na anjaad bashir alqa wa nawashi. When the brothers came back, they bought the shirt. Baba, father, this is the shirt of our brother, your son, Yusuf. Oh, put it on your face. I can see. Immediately he said, my son's wife, family, didn't I tell you I was smelling Yusuf? Tell me, Yusuf is alive? The son said, yes, yes, Bishop, certainly. Your son, our brother, is alive. Now look what they say. قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ إِنِّي أَعْلَوْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا تَعْلَمُونَ میں نے کہتا تھا کہ تم لوگ مجھے کہہ رہے ہیں میں بڑھا کچھ ہٹ ہو گیا ہوں مجھے بیکار ہو گیا ہوں لیکن میں نے کہتا تھا مجھے سب کچھ پتا اِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ اس کو کہتے ہیں بصارت بصیرت or what they call firasa. In Arabic, we call this firasa. Firasa al-mu'min. In fact, there is a call of Imam Ali رضي الله عنه, where he said, اتقوا فراسة المؤمن. Beware, be scared, fear the firasa of mu'min, meaning the farsightedness, the inspiration, intuition of a believer, mu'min, true believer. Why? فَإِنَّهُ يَنْظُرُ بِنُورِ اللَّهِ. Beware, scared, fear of the firasa of a mu'min, because he or she, it could be either one, Allah Ta'ala can give this blessing to a female or male, he or she sees with the noor of Allah. You know, Allah noor samawati wal ard, noorun ala noor, Allah can give this noor to anyone. Yes, Allah will not give wahi or revelation to His people today. Allah will not give any prophecy to anyone, but Allah can give His wisdom, His hikmah, His ilm, His noor, His firasa to anyone, young or old, whatever kind, male or female. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, look, I used to tell you guys, you never used to listen to me. I used to warn you guys, you never used to listen to me. You suffered a step and step because you never listened to my advices, to my wisdoms. But didn't I tell you, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُ. I know from Allah what you don't know. So whenever a buzurg, whenever a senior citizen, an old person in our family, our great uncle or our grandfather or grandmother, whenever someone tells us something, we should take it seriously, especially us, the kids, the youth. We should listen very carefully. In fact, keeping old people in the house, as one of the hadith says, keeping old people in the house brings barakah in the rizq. This is a big hadith for all those sons and not daughters, because daughters are not bounded by the Quran to keep their parents with them, but sons are. This is a big hadith for all those sons who want to keep their parents in a separate house and live on their own. You are not doing a bad thing technically, but you are missing out on the barakah and risk. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives special barakah in the salary, in the mal of that son who keeps his parents with him and tries to counsel his wife and say, look, by having them in house is a big saya, what you call a shade of rahmah and barakah from Allah. I don't want to lose this shade. But yes, scholars have allowed that if the wife does demand, she has also haq. If there is problems with potential problem between the wife and the mother-in-law, and that she does demand, I want to be in a separate house, then the scholars say you are allowed to have a separate house, but be very close to your parents. Not that, oh, I'm living in Mount Olive Bodley, parents down there in Edison. Said, I have the excuse, dad, mom, you're so far, I can only come once a month. Or they're living in Connecticut or somewhere very far, it's 2 hour ride, I can only come in Eid or Bakrid. Because the more far you go, the more distance you can buy. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is saying then, قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا اسْتَغْفِرْ لَنَا. Immediately the sons, they became very sad and sorry. They said, oh, our father, make istighfar for us. We accept our guilt. We are the one, we lied to you, father. We are the one who threw Yusuf away. We are the one who got rid of him. We came at that time, we lied to you, we said, oh, he is lost or something like that. But please, oh father. And father knew this all the time that his sons are lying. So you might say, what kind of father is he? Why don't you just give him a big whack? How dare you lie? I know I'm a father, you're lying. No. Allah's teaching, I mean, I told you many times, Surah Yusuf is like volumes of wisdom, hikmah, encyclopedia. What is Allah teaching us here from parenting, from fatherhood? A father has to have a big heart. At times, you as a father know your son is cheating, your son is lying, your son is not doing wrong. But do you kick him out of the house? Do you go throw them in the trash can? No. Because this is what Allah is teaching. Whatever your children do, bachche to bachche hote, aulad to aulad hote. Parents have to have a big heart, not a small, stingy, cheating heart, grudge. Or no, if someone says, yeah, but I usko apne jaydaad se aag kar dunga, main uski shakal nahi dekhna chahta, main uska baap nahi, baap mar gaya, keh do usko, Eid Bakrid karwata. These things, they happen in our Indo-Pakistani culture a lot, which is totally un-Islamic. Allah is teaching baps, fathers, a big lesson. Before you utter such a big kalima, before you say something such as this huge, big, that I will kick you out of my house, I am dead, I'm not your father anymore, don't come to me in Ramadan, in Eid, Bakrid, anything, don't even remember me, forget about it, marawa, babka, mudekna, things like that, all these kinds of fahisha, foolish kind of statements, they should look to Yaqub al-Islam. What did Yaqub al-Islam say? Okay, he said, look, qala, سَوْفَ أَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكُمْ رَبِّي. He don't say, no, come here, I have to retaliate, I have to seek revenge. Ah, see, you accept your confession, dekha, mere kehta na, tum bhukto ke, bhukto, tum is qabil ho. This is what fathers are doing nowadays. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us what? Positive attitude. Fathers, keep a positive attitude. Even if you know that your son has done zina, it's a big sin. Does that mean that you go and throw them from the top of the cliff? Say, is aise aulaad se behtar hai mar jaye? Aulaad to bahut si cheezein karti. Allah's mother is teaching us a big lesson that aulaad, children, they do all kinds of humongous, horrendous, erroneous things. Not even in your wildest dream you can think they'll do that, they do it. But then at that moment, you as a father or mother, what should you do? Become Yaqub al-Islam. Chalo jao, maine maaf kiya. Chalo jao, mitti paao. Bhool jao. Tear it up, close that chapter, book, put it away. Yaqub al-Islam is willing to forget how many years? 32 years apne bachon ki nafarmani. 32 years he's saying, I'll put it in a trash can. Like, aise tissue paper nikala, baap. Itna bhi nahi unhone ke, nahi mujhe hisab do, mujhe batao, ek ek cheez batao, tumne kaise kiya, tumne se kuwe mein kaise dala. Excuse me the language here, but I'm trying to express, because you can't express this part in English. Like, wo ye puchhi nahi rahe. कि यार मुझे हिसाब नहीं करो नहीं उन्होंने ऐसा कह जैसे कि आपके वो क्या आटे की बोरी में से एक बाल निकाल के ऐसे फेंक दे मिट्टी पा. दिस इज द फिलॉसफी ऑफ फादर एंड मदर्स पेरेंट्स मीनिंग ट्रांसलेशन याकूब अल इस्लाम इज ट्रीटिंग ऑल दोस 32 इयर्स ऑफ डिसओबीडियंस ऑफ हिज 10 सन्स अगेंस्ट हिज अदर सन एज इफ यू आर टेकिंग ए पीस ऑफ हेयर आउट फ्रॉम अ बैग ऑफ आटे हो गया कहते फ्लावर बोलिए. इंग्लिश भूल जाते हैं कभी, इतनी इंग्लिश बोलनी पड़ती।
इतना ज्यादा बोल रहा
द वे यू टेक आउट ए पीस ऑफ हेयर, इमेजिन व्हाई आई एम गिविंग एग्जांपल ऑफ अ हेयर एंड अ बैग ऑफ फ्लावर, बिकॉज़ बैग ऑफ फ्लावर इज सो सॉफ्ट सो टेंडर एंड हेयर सो थिन, द वे यू टेक इट आउट लाइक दिस, ओ द हेयर में लेट मी टेक इट आउट, मीनिंग यू डोंट पे अटेंशन, ओ हाउ डिड द हेयर कम, हूज हेयर इज इट, ओ गिव मी हिसाब किताब, नो यू जस्ट डोंट इवन कंसर्न अबाउट योरसेल्फ, यू टेक इट आउट. Meaning the biggest lesson Allah is giving us through Yaqub al-Islam in this ayah towards the end of Surah Yusuf, father and mother, beware, become like Yaqub al-Islam, become like Yusuf al-Islam, forgive and forget. That's why Allah says that parents have wings of mercy. In Surah Bani Israel, Allah says that, look, parents have a, meaning Allah says over there to children, subdue yourself to the front of the parents as if you have wings of mercy. In other words, Allah is saying, parents, you cannot butt heads with them. You as a children cannot fight against parents, cannot go against them. But if you have wronged them, if you have gone against them, put yourself like in sujood, as if you are in front of them. And why? Because the hidden implication in that ayah is, Allah is telling to parents, although the ayah does not say explicitly to the parents, but Allah is saying to the parents, when you see your children coming to you and saying, maaf kar de, ghalti ho, when you see their nadamat, when you see their guilt and remorse, when you see the sorrowness, when you see the subduedness, submissiveness in your children, and they're asking, don't apna seena na khol, akal mat jao, don't stretch your chest, and don't become egoistic. Ah, see, I know, bhugat gaye, I know, main kehta tha na. No, at that moment, gale laga. Just put as if you have big wings of ego or some vulture. You say, okay, my son, my daughter, no problem. Forget about it. Why? This will breed what? Positive attitude. Because at that moment you get up, mujhe hisab do, sari mein farmani ki hisab do. You will, okay, they might do that, but you're not going to bring them closer to you. You're going to make them further away from you. Or, if not that, you might breed rebellion in them. To heck with this kind of a father, mother. I don't care about it. Or when he gets old, I'll get even steamed with this father or mother when they get old. Put them in senior citizen home. Because many times I talk to these children who do put their father and mother in senior citizen. I say, why did you do that? What on earth made you do such a thing? Oh, you don't know, Brother Joel. When I was young, this is what my father did. This is what my mother did. Now it's my time to get back. Although he's wrong, she's wrong. But something made them, provoke them to do that. So parents need to be aware. You want senior citizen at home, or you want your son's home? So he says, "Qala sawfa astaghfiru lakum Rabbi, innahu al-ghafur rahim." His father, he forgot, bhula diya, saar. I mean, can you imagine 32 years? It's been 32 years from this moment, from the moment that they got rid of Yusuf al-Islam in a young age. 32 years, Yaqub al-Islam is willing to forget in a moment of split second. Not only that, but he says, I, as your father, will ask Allah, Allah, forgive them. Subhanallah. Isse badi badai kibriyai kya ho sakti? What bigger heart can you have more than this? It requires a big heart just to forgive your children. It requires an even mammoth heart to forgive them and ask Allah, Allah, maaf kar de mere bachon ko. Allah, I will ask. Yani Yaqub al-Islam as a father, as a prophet, he says, oh Allah, ma dane, ma samajhe. Oh Allah, they are my children. They are innocent. They're ignorant. They didn't know. They did this all this 32 years of bluffing and all that. They did out of mistake. Allah forgive them. I am their father. Because baap ki dua kabhi rad nahi hoti. There's a hadith of Rasulullah. He said, ittaqu, fear the dua of your father against you. Kyunki baap ne agar bad dua kar di kabhi, oh, arsh hil jata. That person can never, even they may sleep by taking Valium and Xanax, they may sleep, but literally they will never sleep if they have gotten the baddua or the anti-dua from their father in their lifetime. Finally, we finish the ayah, 99-100. Alhamdulillah, it's time for Maghrib. We come to the conclusion. فَلَمَّا دَقُوا عَلَىٰ يُوسُفْ آوَىٰ إِلَيْهِ أَبَوَيْهِ وَقَالَ ادْخُلُوا مِصْرَ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ آمِنِينَ. The whole family, family picture, photo finish coming up, the story's ending. They all come in a caravan into Egypt, they enter Egypt, دَقُوا عَلَىٰ يُوسُفْ آوَىٰ إِلَيْهِ. They come to him and they fall in sujood. Subhanallah. Allah's father is saying, at that time sujood was allowed, not sujood of ibadah, sujood of ihtiram, respect. in the sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all kinds of sujood are forbidden. All kinds. Ihtiram, respect, dignity, whatever you want to do, bowing, anything. But in some of the other sharias of other prophets, Allah did allow. In the sharia of Musa alayhi wasallam, it was allowed. Sharia of Yaqub alayhi wasallam, it was allowed. Yaqub alayhi wasallam himself is a prophet, a father. He is making sujood to his son. His son, they make a sajda like that. But not for ibadah. Don't take it wrong. It's not shirk. It's not ibadah. Ihtiram. Why? Because at that time it was allowed. Does that mean today, if a father is indebted, subdued to the son, agar someone's son today does a very good favor on their father and the father is very exuberant, exuberant, does that mean he falls down in sujood to the son? No, haram, hasha lillah. Some fathers do that, especially in Gaon, you know, in villages, when they see the son, oh, vilaj se aage hai, oh, itne bas suitcase le, bas, they go into the sujood, oh, beta, chala, ba, itne suitcase aage. This head should never go, neither beta or bet, no son or daughter. This head is only for Allah, now, after Muhammad s.a.w. has come. But what is the message Allah giving here? He's saying, look, he's saying, as a parent, it is okay to thank your children. Because some people, they feel ego to even thank their children, to even appreciate. If the son fixed the father's glasses, or got him a nice, nice, flexible glass, $500 worth, the father says, oh, so what? Big deal. I'm his father. He has to do that. I spent so many millions of dollars on him. No. Appreciate. Oh, beta, thank you. Jazakallah, mashallah, very good. Oh, look, call your wife, the mother of that son. They go, kitna lakman beta, kitna hunar man beta. Look, come. My wife, look, how a good child we have. How a beautiful son we have. Look at our tarbiyah. We did tarbiyah to them. This is the message Allah is giving. Not that, oh, koi baat nahi ji. Paisa bada kharch kiya maine. Ye to kuch bhi nahi hai. To ek paai bhi nahi ke maine tere pe kharch kiya. This is wrong attitude. I told you, Surah Yusuf is full of wisdom. Full. Every word, not every word, every half of Surah Yusuf is full of wisdom. There are hidden messages all over the place. So then Allah says, وَرَفَعَ أَبَوَيْهِ. Bachon ko kya kehna chahiye? If parents do thank their children in front of them, what should their children should say? Ah, mashallah, look, I'm the best son. My father, he's indebted to me. He's subdued. He's making sujood to me. Literally speaking, not physically. No, the children should have ajizi in kisar. No, abbaji, shukra na kar, itu mera farz. Mother, ah, thank you very much. I deserve this, thank you. Say more. Abba, say 10 times, thank you. Some children have this attitude. But Allah is saying, look, Yusuf Aslam, the moment he saw his father and his mother and his 11 brothers all making sujood, he rushed. Beti ki mahabbat dekhen, beti ki izzat azmat dekhen, beti ka ehtiram dekhen, raha nahi gaya beti se. Foran baap ke paas, rafa'a. The word is a physical word, meaning he physically came close and picked up his father. No. Ye kya kar rahe hain aap? Tahmeen kar rahe hain, insult kar rahe hain. Baap kaise sajda mere saath? He lifts him up. Respect, honor, dignity. Meaning Islam is full of wisdom. Both sides. Parents have to have wisdom. Children have to have wisdom. It's a give and take society. Unfortunately, our Muslim societies today, whether America or India, Pakistan, whatever, Egypt, has become corrupt so much, we don't know what we're supposed to do. We don't know what we're supposed to do in this situation, in that situation, in this situation. I don't know, as a father, what should I do? As a son, what should I do? I don't know what should I do as a grandfather, if my grandson did something. We have to learn. Surah Yusuf, the other name I give for Surah Yusuf is the family surah. Family surah. Why? In the word family, every relationship comes. Father, mother, son, daughter, brother, sister, uncle, aunt, chacha, tai, pupi, mamu, khalu, everything comes in here. Every relationship is discussed in this surah. And every relationship has certain norms, pros and cons that are part of it. So then he says, وَرَفَعَ أَبَوَيْهِ عَلَى عَرْشٍ وَخَرُّ لَهُ سُجَّدًا وَقَالَ يَا أَبَتِ هَذَا تَعْوِيلُ رُؤْيَايَ مِنْ قَبْلُ قَدْ جَعَلَهَا رَبِّي حَقًّا. Oh my father, this is the ta'wil. Ta'wil meaning the interpretation, the implementation of my dream that I saw at a young age. Meaning, Yaqub, my dear father, you remember when I was a young Yusuf, I came to you, I told you, I saw a dream. So now Yusuf Aslam is reminding Yaqub Aslam, this is my dream's fulfillment. Meaning it was not a fictitious dream, it was a real dream. But for this dream to accomplish, it took 100 ayats in the Quran, and it took 32 years for Yusuf al-Islam. Humne to bada aasan se 2 mahine mein complete kar diya. But imagine how much Yusuf al-Islam had to go through for his dream. Life. This is life. We have to go through its pains, its difficulties. And then he says to his father, this is the implementation of my dream, which Allah showed me and I told you. وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي إِذْ أَخْرَجِنْ Now he's telling. And the Babdi taking mulaqat, you know, itne bichhe hue, itne saalon ke baad. I mean, father and son are meeting after so many years, so he's updating. Dad, father, this is what I went through. He said, قَدْ أَحْسَنَ رَبِّي My Rabb, my Lord, my Allah, has always blessed me. He's not saying, uff. He's not saying, oh, I was in takleef. Oh, Abba, I'm very sad. Please, Abba, mujhe gale laga le. Main bade dukh mein tha. I was in a lot of sadness, depression, pain, anguish, man. This is the message Yusuf al-Islam is giving. Don't complain. Don't whine. Don't moan and groan. Especially at reunion time. Rather, this is a good time. It's achi khabar, na? This is a good thing. Four of finished families reuniting everything. So, thank Allah. I mean, this is from the character of Yusuf al-Islam. From the personality. That he's not complaining that, oh Allah, I went in the well, I went in the jail. No, he's saying, Qad. Rabbi, قَدْ أَحْسَنَ رَبِّي My Rabb has done ahsan on me. And then he gives the ahsan. Is أَخْرَجَنِي مِنِ السَّجْنِ When he took me out of the prison. وَجَعَ بِكُمْ مِنَ الْبَدْرِ And he brought you from the desert. مِنْ بَعْدِ النَّزَغِ الشَّيْطَانَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنِ إِخْوَتِي He is giving the accolades, rewards. And look, Allah has blessed us and our family and me so much that he brought me out of the jail. He brought me and you back together after Shaitan. He is not accusing his brothers, mind you. I mean, full of wisdom. These last few ayats are heavy, very burdensome ayats. Message he's giving that, look, if you are forgiving somebody, don't whine about it. Because he, in the previous ayat today, he said that he forgave his brothers. Those 10 brothers, he said, go, you are free, I forgive you. And I'll ask Allah forgiveness for you. So now, he's not accusing his brother, he's saying, after Shaitan forced my brothers, to separate from me. Meaning he's putting the blame on Shaitan. Bypassing his brothers. Why? Because he does not want to insult his brothers in front of who? His father. Or Allah. His father. See, he's saying that, look, so what if my brothers acted as stepbrothers and they did all? They stabbed me in the back. Khanjar peed me ghobi. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to praise them. How he's praising them? He's saying whatever they did because Shaitan overpowered them, overwhelmed them. They did that. But look, Allah has blessed us. Allah removed the rancor, enmity between me and my brothers. He separated all that. Now he's got my brothers with me together. And the brothers are nadama. The brothers are guilty, remorse. Sharminda, their eyes are down. They can't even speak because they're so disgusted of themselves what they did to Yusuf Asra. Meaning, when you forgive someone, two messages. Allah, you buy their heart. You make them your slave. Because they can't even raise their eyes in front of you. Because they know you had the right to seek revenge, retaliation, you did not, you forgave them. Second thing Allah is giving message, when you forgive someone, now don't taunt and tease and brag about it. Oh look, my brother did so much, I forgave them. My brother did so much, I ask Allah to forgive. No, he's not bragging about it. Rather, he's giving them, look, parda dal raha hai unki gunah pe. He's putting a cover, satr. On their sin, say, look, Shaitan, after Shaitan brought the rancor, enmity between me and my brothers, but Allah, He did fuddle by removing that rancor, enmity, and reuniting the whole family, father, over here. Inna Rabbi latifun lima yasha. Verily, my Rabb is very subtle, very forbearing, and very kind and generous for whatever He desires. Innahu al-alimul hakeem. Verily, Allah is the most knowledgeable and the most wise in all of this. And this is verse number 100. It brings the end that this is what happens. This is all Allah informs us that the family reunites, gets back in Egypt. And many of the scholars have written various things that after that they lived together and Yaqub al-Islam died in Egypt. Some said that he moved back over there. These are all fictitious stories. We don't need to worry about it. The authentic tafsir that we have is that this is where Allah stops. This is where Rasulullah stopped in his tafsir. If we speculate and go further from here, we are not on the right track. Alhamdulillah, at least we finished, even though we went over time. Any questions or comments before we pray? Because after prayer, then we can leave.